The Insurance Coffee House is hosted by Insurance Search. Insurance Search provides executive recruitment services to insurance companies, brokers, and insurtechs in the UK and across the United States, attracting and retaining the most successful leaders to your insurance business. To find out more, visit insurance-search.com. The Insurance Coffee House, the place where you get to meet and be inspired by the most successful insurance business leaders from across the world. Hosted by Nick Hoadley, CEO of Insurance Search.
Welcome to the Insurance Coffee House podcast. I'm Nick Hoadley. Today I am delighted to be joined by Kirsten Beasley. Kirsten is the head of office at Willis Towers Watson for their Bermuda office and joins me on the line from Bermuda this morning. Welcome to the show, Kirsten.
Thanks, Nick. I'm super happy to be here. Looking forward to chatting with you.
Thanks, Kirsten. I know we've been in discussions about this for a while now, including a trip over to Hamilton, a trip over to Bermuda several weeks ago where we were planning this. So really looking forward to the discussion, really looking forward to finding out more about the Bermudan insurance market, as well as the wider work that you're doing there at Willis Towers Watson. Number one question though, Kirsten, as we are in the Insurance Coffee House today, what is your coffee of choice?
So I'm actually not a coffee drinker at all. I've never liked it. So I'm a tea drinker, a dedicated tea drinker, a good strong cuppa, several in fact, to start my day.
No problem at all. Like I say, we certainly don't discriminate on the podcast, and good strong English tea always goes down very well. Kirsten, would you mind sharing with our listeners a little bit about your background, your insurance career journey, how that started off and how that's led into the position you enjoy there now at Willis?
Yeah, absolutely. Because this is a Bermuda-themed podcast, I will start there in that my entire career has been spent on the island of Bermuda. I've hit both sides of the insurance spectrum. I've had a 25-year career as a broker and an underwriter and then a broker again. And that career has spanned a remit and leadership of teams across multiple continents. As I said, as a broker, as an underwriter, even on the operations side of the business as well. All of that has been done, as I said, from the little old island of Bermuda. You know, my career is a good reflection of the global reach and span that this island actually has within our industry.
Yeah, such a great international and global opportunity, albeit within a very small location there. In terms of your current role, so you head up the Bermuda office there for Willis Towers Watson. What's the remit of your role? What are the opportunities and responsibilities that you have?
It's a double-hatted role in some ways. So I am the geography leader, which is the responsibility for the running of the office, for ensuring that we have the facilities we need, liaising with Big Willis and all of that stuff. And that geography role is accountable to three teams. We have three teams in Bermuda, a broking team, which I'll come back to, our actuarial consulting, what we call our insurance consultants, our ICT, and our captives teams as well. So all three of those operate in Bermuda, and my geography leadership is really around, I view it as accountability to them to make sure that we have the operations and the facilities they need to run their businesses. The other hat that I have is a leadership of our broking unit, which is, you know, obviously nuts and bolts on the insurance side, broking into property, casualty, and financial lines business to the Bermuda market.
I think that really demonstrates the opportunity within the Bermuda market. I mean, a lot of locations around the world, whether you're in the US or parts of the UK, sort of outside of those major international hubs, really the opportunity there can be quite limited. The fact that you're very much involved in international programs, in captives work, really sort of complex work that you certainly wouldn't get in some further outfield places and in other parts of the world.
I think it's a good point. And quite frankly, I think it's the story of Bermuda. Insurance and reinsurance, not just the P&C, but also a really rapidly growing life sector, are at the core of this island. And so there's a robust ecosystem that goes beyond just the underwriting roles or the broking roles. There are opportunities in actuarial captives, but there's also lawyers, accountants, marketing services that support this entire ecosystem. And the Bermuda economy, insurance and reinsurance and the supporting services are at the heart of it, quite frankly.
And that's great opportunity. I think you know, across the board. Like you said, there's a real ecosystem there and a real micro, well, not even a micro economy, maybe micro in terms of just reinsurance, insurance, reinsurance, life insurance. It's much bigger than that. It's just all condensed in one place and it gives great opportunities.
I would say the only thing micro about the Bermuda insurance reinsurance industry is the geography. Yeah. Everything else is at a global scale. There's stats available online, but you're talking about hundreds and hundreds of companies here with nearly $300 billion of premium alone flowing through, let alone the revenue attached to the non-premium generating entities like accountants, lawyers, brokers. It really is a full-scale industry.
And in terms of Willis and the operation that you have there, what are some of the plans that you have coming up? What are some of the opportunities there at Willis?
Yeah, so we're in growth mode. We have been in growth mode for a number of years. With my particular broking lens hat on, we have fantastic new dynamic leadership in North America that's really gotten us focused on growth and accountability. And so we're looking to innovate in ways that we haven't done before. We're looking to reorganize ourselves along the industry focus, core to how our clients manage and view their own risk. What all of that means is that we are going to be growing, not just in 24, but in 25 and beyond. And that really is at the core of our strategy. That means constant challenges for our people and constant, you know, additions to the team to ensure that we provide the service that we need to keep up with that growth.
And how do you find working, being in a local market whilst also being in an international market and working for a large global organization like Willis?
A little bit of a loaded question for me. I love it, but it can also be super challenging, right? So I find myself often having to translate Big Willis to Bermuda. And yeah. Translate Willis Bermuda to Big Willis, as I call it. We have some very unique dynamics here. You know, our employment law isn't the same as it is in the US or the UK. Our regulatory structures might not be exactly mirrored. That translation work can be time consuming. I wish I didn't have to do it. But actually, what I really love is that I've been given the platform to be able to do it. You know, having the seat at the table when you're little old Bermuda is exceptionally important because we are pretty core to being able to deliver on our promise and commitment to our clients.
Across this podcast series, we've been talking to our guests about areas that they're passionate about, something that's particularly pertinent to them or they think is really important for the insurance industry. And I know you wanted to talk about leadership skills and in particular, actually, public speaking. Why is that important to you, Kirsten? And why are you particularly passionate about talking about public speaking?
Because I'm terrible at it. it's the short answer. It was a richer story than that. I am a fairly outspoken, confident, opinionated person. And so it came as a shock to me when in my 20s, the first time I was put in any kind of speaking, it wasn't even sort of at a podium public speaking. It was hosting an underwriting meeting as a young underwriter. And I was nervous. I had moments where I couldn't speak. And so for a confident, outspoken person to not be able to use my voice because of the nervousness of being sort of at the center of attention in a speaking setting was a shock. And so it's been something it's plagued me, quite honestly, for my entire career. And as my career's progressed, the irony is that you have to do more and more of it. And so at some point, I just got angry about it. And I said, well, I'm not going to have this bug me. I'm going to say yes to every speaking opportunity I ever get and just try and sort of muscle through it. I never got any kind of coaching, or the coaching that I did get wasn't sort of adequate. So you start to realize that the tools that we're given are zero or not good enough to help develop these critical, critical skills to be able to further your career. So that's really where it stemmed for me, was this sort of this twin recognition of I have to do this. I'm terrible at it, but I'm not being given the tools and the techniques to be able to get better, other than just doing it over and over.
It's so important. I mean, we see that across companies that, you know, someone will be on a fast trajectory. Maybe they're great technically, maybe they're great salespeople. They're on a fast trajectory and then hit that limit. It is quite debilitating to them, particularly if they've not been taught or they've not been coached how to deliver and speak in a public forum. So it's interesting. Some people, I think, just naturally glide through and they just pick it up as they go. But there's an awful lot of people who get to that point and they find it a real challenge. So how do you go about overcoming this?
I suffered through it. I don't think I ever overcame it, right? If I'm being perfectly honest. But there was a point in my career where, you know, you start to think like, gosh, am I the only one that is suffering with this? It becomes very sort of isolating in some ways because there's an embarrassment factor attached to it as well. Me and a group of women got together and tell a little bit of the story. It started with a survey. I was like, am I alone? How many other women feel like this? And how do they grapple with it? And we shot out a survey to the market. We got great response. And it really kind of honed us in on how we needed to address it. And the survey determined that 80% roughly of women are nervous speakers. 80% of them avoid speaking as a result. With that kind of stats, and think of all that subject matter expertise that is lost because of nerves. We also determined that in order to get better, women deemed that they wanted to do it in small groups. And quite honestly, they wanted to do it in a very sort of gender-specific way with women only, not have it be mixed gender environments. So that survey informed our next step, which was setting up WeSpeak. WeSpeak is an organization that's focused on women in all professions. We are not insurance or reinsurance specific, to help develop their voice in whatever sphere is necessary for them. So yes, it could be giving a TED talk to someone, one person, but for another person, maybe someone more like me, it's just being able to host an underwriting meeting and ask your questions without going beet red in the face. So meeting people where they are, and we have a coaching approach to it where we have one coach for every five women. It's an exceptionally supportive environment. And, you know, we do day-long boot camps. We offer our coaches training on how to coach and help women, again, meet them where they are as well. So that was set up in early 2019. And now here we are nearly 5 years later, having hosted multiple boot camps, trained hundreds of women. And, you know, I don't even know how many coaches we have, 60 or 100 coaches.
That's absolutely fantastic. I'm sure you've probably had some of your team members, I'm sure, have gone through that program with you. What's it been like watching people go through that? And presumably you see some quite big improvements there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the feedback that we get from all the women really is around how it's given them the tools to be able to cope and to get through and to further their career. So it hasn't just been Willis women that I've observed or seen this in. You know, obviously there's a whole spectrum of women. We have teachers, police officers, you know, a whole spectrum of women in Bermuda that have gone through this. And again, you don't often get to observe when a woman's using her voice to great effect. You know, sometimes it's advocating for salary, but we get the feedback that the tools that they learned in WeSpeak are something that they carry with them. Part of the model is the ability to tap in ongoing coaching outside of the bootcamp construct. So you can reach out to any one of our coaches at any time and ask them for help with a challenging conversation they have to have or a presentation they have to give.
That's absolutely wonderful. I mean, it's such a great thing that you've done there. You've actually been very proactive about going out, trying to find a solution to that problem. And I think sometimes we overlook these things. I'm sure as well, I don't know what the stats would be for men as well, but I'm sure it'd be very high, the number of men who have similar issues, whether they try and address that differently or whether they try and suppress that differently, I don't know. But I think across the board, so many people, and it has a big material impact on their career. They don't just find it awkward or difficult to deal with. You know, if they turn down opportunities, they try and avoid it. That's how you get overlooked for promotion and further opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I will tell you, it's been one of the more rewarding things I've been involved in my career. And like, I can't tell you, getting sort of 15 outspoken female leaders in a room together and, you know, what we were able to create in pretty short order is, I think, pretty impressive and a testament to our board and the women that serve on it. You make a good point, if I can address that, about men. Because one of the elements about WeSpeak that I'm most proud of is the teen initiative that we have, because I often think, gosh, if I'd have been given some of these tools at an earlier age, would I have had this sort of monkey on my back that I've been carrying for 25 years and all the angst that comes with that? So getting into at the teen level was pretty important to me to, you know, prevent this before it becomes a real issue. Part of that, and what I'd like to see in the future, is that our teen initiative isn't gendered, that we're including boys in it, because, you know, I'm the mother of two boys. I can tell you it does need to be taught, right? Making eye contact, being able to have a cogent conversation. This isn't innate to some people. And so I'd love to get our teen initiative to be where we hit it from both sides.
Such a great initiative. All women from different parts of the business community there in Bermuda. Switching back slightly now to the insurance market there, and particularly insurance careers on the island. I think it would be really great to get your thoughts on navigating that bridge as a local, as a Bermudian. What you see really is the opportunity. What you'd say, because your sort of main advice would be to someone in building an insurance career there who grew up on the island, may have studied on the island, may have gone overseas, college and university. But what would your main advice or thoughts be on building that insurance career?
So the opportunities are vast. I sort of gave you the stats, hundreds and hundreds of companies with physical presence here, a substantive presence, and the jobs to go with it. That being said, you know, it's important that all Bermudians remember that we're not just competing within Bermuda and our small country. We're competing on a global scale. We are an exceptionally well-educated island, and that's really important. But it's also important to remember that, you know, we've got to deliver at a global scale. So I think it's critical that there are opportunities for Bermudians, that Bermudians can see themselves in the industry, right? And see the example of other Bermudians. But this is global level competition at this stage. There are a couple of things that I think are important to consider for career progression. I think it's always important to have a passion project. I can't think of any really substantive stage of my career that I haven't had a project that maybe isn't core to my day job, but it's something that I'm interested in. It's tied into a sphere or an industry that I'm particularly interested in, that I'm working side of desk. I think it enriches one professionally to occasionally dip out of your lane and work on things that aren't core to what you have to execute on every day. So that's something that I've always had. And I think it keeps me curious, to be honest. And curiosity is just such a critical mindset, I think, for our industry. And then, you know, given what I've just spoken about, I think it's really important to develop your speaking skills. I think speaking and thought leadership are a really good way to develop brand, to enhance your reputation, and to juice up your skills. So it doesn't always have to be speaking to do that. I would say written thought leadership is as important. I have done a lot of writing over my career, and I think it's been a good opportunity to challenge myself to develop my subject matter expertise, but also it developed my brand as a subject matter expert in whatever field I was in at the time.
And I think it's recognizing the opportunity there. I think in some other markets where you might have much larger offices, albeit a lot of companies in Bermuda, but each office is normally, you know, fairly small. So people have more opportunity to really stand out. I think, you know, if you look at London or New York or Chicago, some of these other big hubs, you might be in an office with 1,000 other people, and then it's actually harder to really get noticed. So there is a great opportunity there if you do think outside the lane and if you do take on some of those initiatives.
I couldn't agree more. We're working on the biggest clients that there are in the world early on in our career. The small entities don't tend to buy in Bermuda. So you're touching large global entities, you know, in your 20s. And so it gives you the opportunity, you know, again, as you said, in a really small environment. So I think there's great opportunity to harness that and leverage it, quite frankly. Yeah.
And opportunities actually further afield then to work in some of those other hubs around the world, some of those other insurance centers, because you've got that first class experience working on those international programs and those big ticket deals. So that's fantastic. Brings us nicely onto the espresso round now, where the questions are short, sharp, and to the point. I know you're more used to a cup of tea there, Kirsten, but would you be up for an espresso now?
Sure. Let's have one.
The espresso round.
And Kirsten, I'd really like to focus this then on talent coming into Bermuda as well. So looking at a global level of opportunities within Bermuda. So we could start off, what would be your one recommendation to an insurance professional or a leader who is thinking about moving to Bermuda and taking on a job opportunity on the island?
Do your research. understand the environment that you're walking into. It is not just a smaller version of wherever you're coming from or a smaller version of the US. It is an entirely unique culture and environment. When I've seen it go well, people get involved, they give back to the community, they're engaged. When I've seen it go wrong, it's because people expect it to be, you know, a certain way, and it's because they haven't done their research.
That's great. And I think a lot of people in the international markets will have experience of traveling to Bermuda and maybe being there for 3 or 4 days and coming in, having meetings all day, probably staying in a 5-star hotel on the beach and then jetting back out of it, and maybe think they've got a good idea of things, but really getting to actually know the community and what life would be like on the island.
Yeah, come in February, day for a hurricane, round out your perspective. Something, you know, again, I've got to mention this, understand the healthcare system and how it is different. It is core to just living in the world, being able to navigate the healthcare system. It is not the same as the NHS. It is not the same as the US. So yeah. Things like that, I think, are important.
Very, very key to do your research. Definitely spend a good long period on the island before making a big move like that. Putting things around slightly, what would be your advice to other insurance leaders on the island looking to make that international hire, maybe looking to bring someone in from the UK, Canada, US? What are the important things to consider then?
I think it's really important to think about diversity, equity, and inclusion always. So whether it's someone in Canada, or, you know, whatever country they're coming from, are they adding a perspective that you don't currently have? It's not just skills that we should be looking at. You know, from my perspective, we should be looking at adding new perspectives as well as skills to enrich and further your team. I just think it's critical for success.
So it's not just maybe going for an easier option of finding more talent in different international locations. It's actually really adding value and doing something different to what you can find actually in the local market.
Absolutely. And you and I have chatted about this before, but I also would say to leaders, are you sure there isn't talent on island that you have overlooked? I think is an important question to ask first. I think our market is always going to need to import talent. Yeah. It is important for us to be able to do so and to have the pathways to do so. But the responsibility of leadership comes with ensuring that we are looking within the Bermuda community first.
That is so important. And actually, some of the conversations that I have with clients and businesses that we work with on the island, they will start off by saying, we know everybody on the island, or, you know, we feel like we've got that covered. But actually, when we peel away from things, they don't necessarily know everybody on the island. No. Because they know the people who are at the networking events and at the drinks and at the golf clubs and these events. But actually, they don't know about the person who works from home 5 days a week or 4 days a week and at 5 o'clock goes home because they've got, you know, other things to do. So yeah, I think always starting afresh with that search and having that open mindset rather than thinking, well, I know a couple of guys, so I'll go to them. And then if I don't go to them, then we'll go international. I think that's key. What would you say is the most important thing when working with an external recruitment partner? What would be the most important thing to you on that front?
So I have a very strong opinion about this because I've had some really not great experiences with recruitment firms that I think get it wrong. One of the most important things is that recruitment firm must have a local network and understanding of the local environment, because you need to understand the landscape in order to be able to recruit for it. And I've seen evidence of companies in Bermuda partnering with recruitment firms that simply don't understand Bermuda. And I don't think it's a good look for those companies. And I don't think recruiters that don't understand us should be operating within our shores.
I think that is a strong opinion, but I think that's very worthwhile. When you look across the board, you wouldn't do that in other locations. You know, you wouldn't use a firm who has no experience in a particular location and just think just because they work in insurance that they're going to understand the market. You know, there are some really big nuances there. That is so key. And highlighting not just the opportunities there, but some of the things to watch out for. Like, we know the cost of living situation is very high. And there's some other challenges as well living on the island. So it's so important. Final question, the espresso round, Kirsten. What would you say is the one lesson your job has taught you that you think everybody should learn at some point in their life?
I learned this lesson too late. The critical role that emotional intelligence has in my happiness, contentment, and overall professional and frankly personal success. I wish emotional intelligence was taught in schools. I wish I was taught, alongside learning how to work the actuarial model, I was taught how to self-reflect and how to apply those lessons and turn them into action points to experiment with and try. that was a realization I had a little bit too late in my career, almost when it was too late. As you progress, you can progress because you're technically proficient. But as you go up the ladder, that technical proficiency in some ways becomes so much less important than all of the other people stuff that comes along with emotional intelligence. That's my number one lesson.
Yeah, if we can learn that earlier, that would be absolutely fantastic. Sometimes I think it comes with experience a little bit, but it's definitely something that the earlier we learn it, the better off for sure. Person, thank you so much for your time today. It's been fantastic to have you in the Insurance Coffee House. Time's gone very, very quickly, but I feel like we've learned a lot about the Bermuda market and covered a lot of great ground. Before we go, do you have one piece of closing advice for our listeners? And there are listeners out there, insurance professionals, either thinking about an opportunity at Willis Towers Watson there in Bermuda, or maybe thinking about moving to the island or taking on an opportunity on the island. What would be the best way for them to reach out to you?
Oh, LinkedIn. Absolutely. Yeah. More than happy. I get a lot of hit ups on LinkedIn all the time. Happy to do that. And, you know, final piece of advice is speak to someone who's already here. If you're looking to move to the island, get some practical insights from someone who's done it.
Kirsten, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been wonderful to have you on the podcast. Really, really enjoyed hearing about the great opportunities in Bermuda and some fantastic learning points as well. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll be in touch soon.
Great. Thanks, Nick.
Thank you for listening to the Insurance Coffee House with Nick Hoadley. Join us next time for another episode packed with insights and advice for senior leaders, C-suite executives, and ambitious insurance professionals. Stream all episodes at insurance-search.com.